Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'd like to think it's Ron Karkovice that made it very popular. They don't catch it. That's where I would go. Who made the White Sox hat very, very popular. It is live. The drive is live. Shout out to Bill Veeck. Hey, the new broadcaster who almost got ran out of town in Chicago. He had just taken over to be the play-by-play TV guy. And he didn't have Bill Veeck.
What do you mean he didn't have
Bill Veeck? He didn't know who it was.
Oh, Lord.
And he admitted it on the air, and he has had a hard time recovering since. he replaced Jason Benetti, and he's had a hard time recovering since. One of the most notable people in the organization's history. But the drive is live. We are live here. You see Clint there on YouTube and Twitch. Tyler right there as well. A lot to get to. A big day on a Wednesday. It is the bye week, but that doesn't mean we still won't have our guys on a Wednesday stopping by the bottom of this hour. We'll hear from Cecil Shorts the third. Got to be feeling a lot better. That boat may be getting a little bigger. That boat of confidence in this offense may be getting a little bigger. We'll hear from our guy Cecil coming up at the bottom of this hour. Also, Brandon Scott in the 4 o'clock hour, 4:40, do his Texans report. That's coming up a little bit later. But congratulations in order, Clint.
What'd I do?
Not you. Oh. Another quarterback, though, C.J. Stroud, AFC Offensive Player of the Week. We gave him A's. I gave him an A+. You gave him an A because of the opponent. But this is the third time he has been the Player of the Week in the AFC. 85%+ of his passes completed, 23 of 27, 244, and then four touchdown passes with a passer rating of 143.9. Dominant performance. Wasn't a shock once he started just unloading them touchdown passes. You thought that might happen. That is the second straight week that the Baltimore Ravens, they've given up the AFC player of the offensive player of the week. Last week it was Mahomes. This week it is C.J. Stroud. But congratulations to C.J. as he had one of his best games of his career, to be honest with you, in that game against Baltimore.
Yeah, look, any game where you throw four touchdowns and you complete 85% of your passes, the odds are there's not another quarterback in the league that's going to outplay you. They may out-yard you, they may out-touchdown you, but that combination of 85% and four touchdowns, that's going to be hard to beat any time, any way you slice it. And so, yeah, very very deserving right here. C.J. Stroud, hopefully again, this is this isn't the last time this year that we see C.J. Stroud win this award or even be up for this award. Hopefully they can roll this thing over as the season gets a little bit more difficult opponent-wise and keep this thing rolling, baby.
I guess we never really got into this point of it with CJ. You've been here, right? You have played that position at the highest level. You played at the highest level in college. A two-time All-SEC quarterback. You played it in the NFL. Obviously, we know the last two opponents they've played have been doo-doo. And the Ravens were a mix of doo-doo and then just not trying.
Hold on, so.
But where he was the previous three games, it looked like he lacked confidence. Do you get a sense, even though it was against bad opponents and it was easy, do you get a sense, though, his performance as a quarterback could jumpstart this confidence and that he's in a much better place right now? This could be helpful, even though it was against poor opponents.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'll argue he needed it desperately. CJ's not a quarterback. CJ's not a player, not a superstar that you know, that handles adversity, I think, in an even keel manner. I know he tries to, and he verbally does, but to me, watching CJ Stroud, I can sense the frustration in CJ Stroud. I can sense that he's hearing the criticism. I can sense that it's impacting him, kind of deal. And I think on the flip side of that is when he has success, he is literally on cloud nine. And so, yeah, I think CJ wears it on his face. I think CJ wears it in his voice, his tone. And clearly, I believe he is a quarterback that the more he plays well, it's going to impact his next game. It's going to impact his next practice. It's going to impact, hell, it's going to impact his next meal, if you will. You know, there's a lot of superstar quarterbacks out there that are pretty even keel and don't get too shook if they play poorly because they played well enough, long enough that they know it's going to come back around. I think CJ's still a guy that kind of ebbs and flows, which, by the way, I mean, hell, he's had two different offensive coordinators, been in two different systems, and you know, a million different pass catchers have been through here. The O-line has been he's been one of the most hit quarterbacks in the league over the last handful of years. So, I mean, it's understandably so, but yes, to your question, I think he wears it on his face, whether he's winning in a good mood and playing well or he's losing in a bad mood and doesn't have all the answers. I think he wears it on his face.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot. Like, all right, hey, look who he did it against. Yeah, I still think, though, with you, as you said there, like that, it just puts you in a better place. That where he goes against Seattle, and maybe he's going to let it rip because he's been seeing, as people would say in basketball, the ball go through the hoop, and he's been seeing some success, and now he comes in trusting it and ready to go and ready to rip. Maybe he trusts Isaiah Hutchinson more from the last couple of games. Maybe he trusts Maybe he trusts Marks more, you know, from the last couple of games, and trusts the offensive line more. Now, we'll see if that reverts back, but I just think all of those things around, regardless of the opponent, will help him big time.
Look, people can make of the Texans' last two opponents whatever they will, and they're not going to be wrong about it. But the reality of it is, if you know the game, if you've been in a position where you are tasked with installing a new offense, there's a new play caller in town, there's new terminology, there's a new supporting cast with the exception of Nico and Dalton Schultz. The offensive line has been overhauled. That is a very tough task. And I'm telling you, I'll be honest with you, the organization has not done him any favors in how they address training camp, in a sense of just creating as much chaos as they can around him consistently for a big part of training camp. Nobody in the NFL needed two games in a row where they saw success at the end of drives.
Whew.
They were able to execute in a good, clean, comfortable pocket. They were able to communicate with the play clock not ticking down on you and you having to rush. You were able to catch your breath, take a deep breath, and just execute and play the quarterback position. We know when CJ has that, he plays at an extremely high level. Nobody in the NFL needed the previous two games, or games like the previous two games, nobody's needed that more than CJ Stroud. From a quarterback perspective, in a long time. Regardless of what you make of it, regardless of what their record is now, regardless of whether it carries over into the next game in a major, major way, regardless of all that, CJ Stroud needed Sunday's opponent to be the injured Baltimore Ravens in a big way. So, yes, it is a huge plus. And I do, as to answer your question immediately, like, I do think that CJ Stroud is a guy that when he's playing well, there's momentum built, and he needs that momentum to continue to play well. Absolutely. He uses it in a major way.
Huge, huge. All right. Congratulations to CJ. Again, the AFC Offensive Player of the Week with that that great game he had against the Baltimore Ravens. All right, Clint. Listen, I don't think that even D'Amico was able to push have the ability to push the buttons to have those two opponents in a row, but it worked.
Yep.
But I do think, as you talk about it, as that's been the deal, and as you said it, man, I can understand people saying, let's halt, man. Hey, y'all, man, chill out, man. I mean, it was against the sorry-ass Titans who needed a miracle to beat the Cardinals, and then the Ravens, who everybody's been doing that to them. I get that, and I think they have played a role into where the Texans are winning 70-10 in the last two games. But I think also along with that, which we'll see more of it in this stretch that they have coming up, Clint, I think within that also, we've seen D'Amico really make some moves and push some buttons. And they've been, I would say, potentially major buttons that D'Amico, you could probably throw Nick Caserio in on some of these decisions as well. But they have made some adjustments and moves in the last couple of weeks that I think they're seeing some adjustments, some positive adjustments made from that.
Yeah, look, I think D'Amico Ryans has pushed all the right buttons at this point in time, because the reality of it is, with the Titans game 2 weeks ago and damn sure the Baltimore game, this organization was at a crossroads. And this thing could have went south in a hurry if you fall to the Titans in your division, or if you fall to a poor Baltimore team that's injured unbelievably. You lose either one of those games, and this organization goes to 0-5 or 1-4, and you're in real, real trouble. And D'Amico Ryans, previous to the Titans game, he's just pushed all the right buttons, right? He handed over the defensive coordinator and duties to Matt Burke two weeks ago.
That's a big deal, man. That's huge, a big deal for him, man.
Look, he did that, and the defensive numbers and the defensive ranks have gotten better.
Yeah.
Now, again, we know who the opponents have been, but Burke has actually been better over the last 2 weeks, right? I think when you look at D'Amico, you hear him talk about what he wants this offense to look like. I love the terminology he's using. I think he's spot on with how and what this offense needs to look like. And so he clearly has an identity that he wants this offense to ultimately adopt and own for as themselves. He's been monitoring the offense closely over the last couple of weeks, even more closely than he was in training camp. So I think on the offensive side of the football, I think he's pushed the right buttons. Defensively, I think MJ Stewart, has stood out. He's not just filling in for somebody. I think he's actually stood out and has been a guy that you look at and you go, man, this guy's got a real chance to be a player all year long. Not just a fill-in, but a player all year long.
Well, he had to push a button to get MJ on the field. And we heard him when he addressed the C.J. Gardner-Johnson move. He said, I know my team.
Yep.
And I know what's best for my team, and that move was best for his team. And as you bring up MJ Stewart, he clearly had somebody that they felt was ready through these last 2 weeks.
Yep, it was my decision.
And they've known exactly how they want to deploy him, and I think it stood out in a big way, right? You look at EJ Speed, bringing him in here, playing him at linebacker, didn't look like he was going to get much run early in the season. All of a sudden, you see EJ Speed in the game a lot more, making tackles. Tommy Togiai was on the inactive list to start the season, and you have a little struggles against Tampa running the ball. Boom, Tommy Togiai goes in there, and all of a sudden your defense has stood up and been better. So I just think when you look at real game action and what's going on, and you listen to what D'Amico Ryans is saying, the moves he's making, kind of how they're panning out, I think D'Amico Ryans has pushed all the right buttons over the last 2 weeks to get this team back to a spot where there should be some level of confidence that they can move forward and get this season back on track. I think D'Amico's pushed the right buttons, man.
Yeah, text line coming through saying Woody Marks getting more time over Damian Pierce is
it's a good one to shift in the whole running back. The way they deploy the four-headed running back room the first game, and then they shrunk it down to three game two, and then they got down to two running backs by game three, and you saw some really good things with Woody Marks getting more runs. So, yeah, I agree. That's another one. I mean, it's just they have just
guard, whatever. With Scruggs, too.
Great call. I mean, yeah, I didn't like the rotation and competing for a two- or three-game stretch there, but it looks like Juice Scruggs
The it looked younger, like he played the whole way, right?
To me, it did. I didn't even bother watching to be honest with you. The fourth quarter of that film, so
it didn't matter.
But yeah, man. I think it's the Ed Ingram. I mean, Ed Ingram came in here. He looked like he was going to be the odd man out. He looked like he was going to be the one that was going to be a depth guard, if not put out on the streets and practice squad type guy.
Now somehow, Pro Football Focus has him as the number one rated guard in the league.
There you go.
And arrows pointed up.
Tytus Howard back at tackle kind of deal. Like yeah, the whole thing, man, is just they pushed the right buttons. Now, does it play in a more raucous environment in Seattle? Does it play versus
a better competition,
which Seattle, I think, is legit? And then, obviously, you know how the schedule goes from there on out. But can this team get back to 3-3, come home for three straight home games, and hopefully get this record on the right side of 500, and then anything's possible from there. But I think D'Amico, to this point, has pushed a lot of the right buttons, man.
People, calm down here, man. Now people are texting it. Like, you ain't got to say it. Then they thank God they banished Ogunbowale. We could have just left it at, the running back room.
Not Dare.
We'd have to say we banished Dare Ogunbowale. Calm down. They have, and again, you know, the opponent obviously has something to do with it, but they didn't just say, "All right, guys, we're 0-3. All right, man, it's like Novocaine, baby. We're just gonna keep pushing at it, and then eventually, this thing will work." No, they made real live adjustments in a lot of different spots. I think from players on the field, like you named it, like CJ looks like a completely different player the last two games. In particular, we talked about him earlier. Like, his game looks completely different. The Dalton Schultz portion of him being involved, it looks different. So the fellas are doing more than just beating poor opponents. They're actually making moves. Someone texted in, y'all were joking about it in preseason with the Texans. We'll finally figure out the offensive line and running backs. Y'all were joking then, saying it will be a few weeks into the season, and luckily, you all are right. I think they had a lot of hell. They weren't even finished figuring out who was going to be their five. I think it feels like this week they just figured out who their five guys would be up front. Let alone, as you said, they were still looking at all four guys running the football in the first game. It seems like they have finally settled down on who the five are up front. With it being Ursary, Scruggs, Andrews, Ed, and then Tytus, and then in the backfield, it seems like it is predominantly Nick Chubb and Woody Marks, with British Brooks. Maybe he's emerging to be that fullback there and getting some spot there. So yeah, it's five games in, and it looks like they probably going into the bye week have what they want to have up front.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like they have. I'm gonna tell you the biggest piece to this puzzle is the quarterback playing a different brand of quarterback over the last 2 weeks, and your offensive line is gonna play better no matter what when that happens. Your running backs are gonna play better, but it always baffles me. I tell you, and it's easy to sit up here on the radio and talk about it, so I'm gonna do it. It's my job, but you know, it's like the Titans coach coming out today. The Titans coach coming out today with Cam Ward. Yeah, I think we're going to run a little bit more up-tempo instead of just in two-minute situations. We're going to run a little more tempo offense because it seems like our quarterback is comfortable in that. You needed five regular season games at the NFL level to know that Cam Ward is better running tempo? Did you watch him at all?
He's going to run their offense.
Well, no, I get it. But I mean, how about we do what your quarterback does and then we slowly work our way into your whatever you want your offense to look like? It took you five games. Even if that is the truth, don't stand your goofy ass up there and say it. I mean, that whole thing is, like, they knew damn good and well. They knew damn good and well Damian Pierce and Dare Ogunbowale had no business being on that field.
I don't think they knew.
They knew damn good and well. They knew damn good and well that they didn't have no.
They trusted them.
The trust is one thing. They knew damn good and well they didn't belong on that field. Come on, man. What are we doing?
I don't know if they didn't believe. I think they still think Dare might be able to get a touch. They want to get him screened, I think, on Sunday.
Nah, British Brooks, bro.
Man, I heard that damn Titans coach say. I said, man, this dude's getting paid millions of dollars in the most important position on your squad, You just, like, you need that to work. You don't even have to win games. You just need to keep your quarterback healthy, and you need him to play at a high level. You ain't got to win games. And it took you five games to know that Cam Ward's more comfortable playing and gun with using tempo than whatever the hell you're trying to do? Come on, man. And the owner of, I wonder if the owner even heard it.
Amy? She may have.
I wonder if owners in, like, I wonder if they look at that. I'm too busy
looking at that Oiler, Derek.
Like, it's a fireable offense. It really is. That's one of those you look at, hey, Coach, can I meet with you real quick? I mean, yeah, we just wasted a number one overall draft pick on this kid. Did you really need 5 weeks of regular season football in the NFL and sitting at 4-1 and got your ass lucky as all get out against the Arizona Cardinals?
Would have put his eyes on him himself.
What are we doing, man?
Where's that Mayo eating son of a buck?
Rehabbing.
I think he got hurt in training.
That's right.
Rehabbing. Got him in.
Getting paid to rehab, baby. Getting paid to work out, look good, chase women.
He's in my, well.
And ain't Mayo.
I think he's in Montana. Coming up.
Montana.
The Texans.
Really?
Maybe they're going to follow suit here. A lot of teams are starting.
Like an old boy that spent his offseason in Montana.
Like Mooses. There are a lot of teams making some moves. I think they're very popular there. A lot of teams making some moves. Should the Texans be one of them before the trade deadline? Should they add to their roster to get it better to make a run to the postseason? We'll discuss that next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Boy, y'all won't believe this. But Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. Can't count on much, but
you had me.
You can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Shout out to Paramount Plus. Started watching the new Naked Gun movie there. Fantastic. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Shout out to Pamela Anderson at an older age still trying to get it done.
Her and her hubby.
Yep. I don't think they're married yet, are they?
Oh, maybe not. I just know they're together.
I think he just started giving it a shot. Wonder who shot the shot there. Was it her or was it Liam?
You don't think he walked up to her and said, "I have a particular set of skills, and they involve my downstairs."
If you know what Tommy Lee was dealing with, I don't think you come in that confident with her.
Tommy Lee's his own kind of.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, if you're going to go with the particular set of skills down low, like, but you know her resume, I think you go a different direction. I think it was still him who shot the shot. I think he went nice guy or sympathy.
Yeah.
He's had some tough things with his life. Damn.
He's got a sensitive side.
Yeah. Damn. All right, Clint, there's some moves being made. We saw Cleveland and Cincinnati switch quarterbacks and Cincinnati go and get Joe Burrow. We saw the Chargers make a trade with Baltimore to try to help their pass rush, especially with Khalil Mack injured. Just saw the Colts. They just added a linebacker, Jermaine Pratt, who the Raiders parted ways with, and they just added him to their roster. So some of these teams in the AFC competing are looking to make moves already and are going to make moves. They're 2-3. It looks like they're jumping right back in it, Clint. And they've looked really good the last couple of weeks, but I know for you, you still think that this is a big time frame for Nick Caserio to try to help add to this team.
Well, I mean, yeah, look, I mean, we all feel like the Texans can still make a run. Now, it's not going to be as front runner as we've seen it the last couple of years, but there's still an opportunity in this division and in the AFC, the kind of way that things are shaking out, that the Texans can get this thing right, get to 500, get back to Houston, and have three straight home games and get on the right side of 500. I mean, I think we can all agree. I don't want to speak out of turn, but I think we can all agree that the Texans still have that ahead of them, right? But you know, the question is when and how and where do they need to hunt before the trade deadline, or do they at all? Right? Adam Schefter expects moves every Monday and Tuesday moving forward, leading up to
the deadline,
the trade deadline, which means there's going to be 10 or 12 moves, at least what Adam Schefter expects, right? And if you do a little bit of digging, which I was doing before the show, some of the different outlets, like Pro Football Network, they have the Texans as one of three teams that are in the market to upgrade via trade as we get closer to the trade deadline. And so, yeah, look, I think the Texans, I've said it before, I think defensively they are set. Could they use a third corner? Sure. Could they use another nickel defender? Sure. Could they use another safety, a depth safety? Sure. The safety position, they could even go get a trade for a starter caliber safety that was out there. Could they use maybe a little bit of help interior-wise at the D-tackle position? Sure. I mean, there's some positions on the defensive side of the football that if they really want to go all out on the defensive side of the ball, they could, but I think they are
the number one scoring defense in the league.
I mean, they're in a position to where they're going to be a top defense in the league all year long, and I think they're a championship caliber defense. The reality of this thing is, for me, it's the question is, on the offensive side of the football, do the Texans need to make moves? And I think it's probably a little early for this conversation, being it's week five and you just won two games and had a really explosive game against Baltimore. But I don't want to wait until everybody under the sun understands and knows and sees and believes that they need to make a move. I just firmly believe from watching the film that the Texans need to make a move. And there are a lot of guys that the list of players out there that are going to be available, I think, is going to make for a very interesting trade deadline moving forward. And, you know, I think the Texans need some help on the offensive side of the ball for sure.
Yeah, I know you've been talking receiver a lot. Yeah, I know that's one where and I think for me overall, they just need another playmaker. Somebody else that just kind of loosens up things from CJ. And that's why I think you said it after that Titans game, if you could feel Woody Marks' presence, because it just loosened up the thing. It added. And I can get what you're saying from the receiver position. If Higgins and Noel are coming along slower than you thought, or you're not ready to give them what you need. And at a 2-3 start, probably you probably need something quicker and more ready. I could see that being a space to go receiver.
Yeah, I think the receiver position is one. The receiver, anybody that can catch a pass, to be completely honest with you, I think the receiver position is definitely one, though. As I said before, I don't see anything on film from Christian Kirk that tells me that he's going to be a productive enough, number two to Nico Collins. I just don't see it on film. I could be wrong. Maybe the hamstring's still a thing. Maybe he's still ramping up, as they say, because he did have to sit a while with that hamstring. But I just don't see it right now. And with the other options you have is Xavier Hutchinson. I think Xavier Hutchinson, no disrespect, but I just think he's a depth receiver at the NFL level. He's a fourth or fifth receiver that you can trust, that can get in there, that can make plays, that'll be where he's supposed to be, that's quarterback friendly. But is he a guy that you can go out there and can you feature him against good teams and end up winning? Can you go, hey, they're going to put their best corner, they're going to put Derek Stingley on Nico Collins. Somebody else has to win. And against a good defense, I'm not comfortable going into a game with Xavier Hutchinson being the next best receiver. I'm not comfortable going into a game with Christian Kirk, what we've seen this year, being the next best receiver. I'm not comfortable enough, nor are the Texans, based on what they've told us. They're not comfortable with Noel being that guy either. I do think they have confidence in Higgins, but Higgins is, I think, an outside receiver. Higgins is a bigger-bodied receiver, kind of in the mold of Nico Collins. I don't think he's ready to be that guy. It's a gamble if you're going to go into a game and be that guy. And let's be honest, I like what Dalton Schultz has done. Dalton Schultz is not a separator. Dalton Schultz is a very quarterback-friendly tight end that's catching the ball when it's thrown to him right now, that is able to do some things in the pass game, that's smart, but he's not a guy that you get to the line of scrimmage and you go, boy, there's a mismatch there. It's not Dalton Schultz either. So I just think they're missing another guy that would be considered a mismatch, and there's going to be some of those guys on the market, and I think the Texans – are probably already flipping stones, but definitely should do themselves a favor and think about it.
Well, let's see what Cecil Shorts III thinks about that and what happened going into the bye week for the Texans as they dominated the Ravens and what he looks forward to this team and this offense moving forward. Cecil Shorts, he'll join us coming up.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus, or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love every day. 18 and up only. Offer valid for eligible subscribers only. Terms apply.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. Nick. Live from the Mokarum Injury Lawyer Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, let's hit the phone lines and talk to our guy, former Houston Texan, former wide receiver in the National Football League, and now currently the NRG game day host, as well as he was also a co-host, I believe, with Seth Payne, a Texans podcast as well. Cecil Shorts III. Cecil, we appreciate you joining us again on this Wednesday. Listen, we saw today that C.J. Stroud was the AFC Offensive Player of the Week with his performance. They put up 44 on the head of the Ravens and could have put up more. They just go ahead and called the dogs off in the fourth quarter. This was by far their best offensive effort. You walked away from that game against the Ravens about the Texans' offense thinking what?
Good question. I left optimistic. I left saying, okay, now we're starting to see more of CJ and the fellas being comfortable in the offense, right? There's so many nuances to the type of offense. There's so many checks at the line of scrimmage that he could possibly have, right? There's so many things that goes through a quarterback's mind, and Clint knows this, like you get to the line of scrimmage with 15, 20 seconds left, and you have to look at all this stuff from the defense, communicate with the line, communicate with the receivers, communicate with the back, whoever it may be. And this looked real smooth. The operation in total looked real smooth. It looked better, right? So I left that game thinking optimistically, because if you didn't score as many points as you did or even came close to it, I was going to leave that game frustrated. What the heck is going on? They got five, six rookies out there. None of their starters are really on defense. Defensively, you did your job, absolutely. But from the offensive side, like you asked me, I left optimistic, and I left like, okay, cool. Going into the bye week, now you're two wins in. The offense scored a bunch of points in these two wins. I can see some light down the tunnel.
See, so what about the receivers? I know the offense that we're watching in the last couple of weeks, and again, I think it's more than just the fourth quarter against Tennessee, but to each their own. I think the last couple of weeks, we've seen an offense that looks like what Nick Caley wants this offense to look like. I think the quarterback play looks like what they want the quarterback play to look like. I think they're distributing the football around the field. There's multiple players getting touches. I think the tight end's being used in a way, the run game's being used in a way that they all look at it and go, yes, this is it right here, right? The one question that I have about the offense and kind of the output that we've seen is the fact that there were 10 receivers targeted last week, 8 head catches. And I look at the pass catchers as a whole on this team, and that's where I get hung up thinking, does this transition to a better defense, a better overall defense, whether we're talking about a great zone defense or we're talking about a more physical secondary or we're talking about flat-out guys that can play man? Does this receiving core, does this group of pass catchers have the ability to separate consistent enough for C.J. Stroud to play the brand of ball that we've seen the last couple of weeks?
I think so. Last week, again, it gave me some optimism. When I look at Christian Kirk, 4 catches, 64 yards. He was used in ways that they got the ball to him quickly and down the field a little bit. You got to see him kind of run after catch a tad bit at different times, getting him involved. I think if you look at the overall passing game, the spacing of the receivers was much better. And to me, that was because of Christian Kirk on the field, knowing where to be, understanding the assignment, understanding where he had to be at, and he was in the right spots for the right time, not just for CJ, but for the whole route concept, right? And then I think, if I'm not mistaken, Higgins had about 4 or 5 targets and 4 or 5 catches. So you're building the confidence in a game like that, like last week. You're building the confidence in these young guys. Noah had a few catches. His touchdown celebration was god-awful. But he has a few catches and made some plays. So you're building the confidence in these guys. to be able to when the big time plays come. Now, I'll be honest with you. Coming out the bye week, you got a gauntlet. You got the Seahawks. You got the 49ers. You got, I forgot the other team, the Broncos, and then you got the Jaguars. So the receiver room will be tested big time coming out of the bye week. But what you're doing is you're building the confidence of them. They're learning from the veterans already there, and they're making plays as you as the games are going on. So I do think they can do it, but they will be tested very soon come out the bye week.
Yeah, I think that was a very aggressive take on the touchdown celebration.
Yes.
It was terrible.
It was terrible.
Hold on, there was no rhythm in it. Okay.
What was
okay.
the thought behind it? Why even do it? Like Ray don't play no more. Like why are you even?
Oh, it's Ray. It's the Ravens. First off, if you have a problem with the execution of it, okay. I think maybe he could have worked on that and maybe executed that a little bit better. But Ray, yeah, it's Ray. That's the Ravens. That's the dance you do.
No.
When you put it on the Ravens.
That's what you do. Everybody in the league is doing TikTok dances and all this movie dances and stuff, and then you do Ray Lewis.
Now, if he did it randomly,
I love, that ain't it.
If he did it randomly in Cincinnati, that would be strange. But he was in Baltimore. It makes sense.
No. How about this? Score again and do something else.
Yeah, well, he's not going to be in Baltimore. All right. One big thing that, you know, Clint and I have talked about is clearly since the Tennessee game, CJ's looked different. And we've talked to you each week, and there was some concern. You have specifically brought up CJ and some of his decisions, his throws, his lack of confidence. What are you seeing in these last two games? And I know against Tennessee, you were on the field. You got to see it close up. And then this past week against Baltimore, what are you seeing different from CJ?
First thing, getting the ball out extremely quick. Like I think we saw in Tennessee, he's taking what the defense is giving him. So for me, he's not overthinking. He's not trying to do too much. He's not forcing the football. He's just, okay, you're going to give me this, I'll take this. And then as time goes, as I continue to take this, then I can go deeper down the field. Or that opens up another route on the other side of the field. Or that opens up a double move or opens up whatever the case may be. But he just seems a whole lot more confident the last 2 weeks. And I think Clint hit on it, like commanding the offense, right? Understanding the offense. Again, this offense is complex. It's a player, and I heard Nick Caserio say this in the interview, it's a player-friendly offense. But it's only player friendly when you understand it, if that makes sense. So you have to really dive into it. And it takes time for a quarterback, especially because they have to know everything in this particular offense. Like I remember playing in an offense very similar. And every time we're in the goal line or in the red zone, you're given two plays. And based on the coverage, based on the possible blitzes, based on the possible front, the quarterback can change the play. And for me, I'm just waiting for him to tell me what to do. But for the quarterback, you have to call the shots. And you want to be right when you do it. So it's a whole process that comes along with it. And he just looks a lot more comfortable from his mind. And his execution just looks really good. I thought he made some really good throws last week. And again, people say, oh, it's Baltimore and Tennessee. Well, he did what he was supposed to do. Like, we all thought coming in that he would be one of the top guys in the league, and he looked like it the last 2 weeks.
You know, it seemed like, Cecil, I just heard you say it. I think – I can't remember what receiver. Maybe it was Dalton Schultz when he came on our show. Maybe it was Nico Collins in the postgame show. But they alluded to, you know, CJ – I think it was Dalton Schultz – alluded to CJ Stroud of, hey, man, he's got all the talent in the world. In this past game, he really was patient and he took what the defense gave him, which in my mind insinuates that maybe that wasn't the case before. Maybe there were some struggles with doing that before, which I would totally understand. And I mean, because I guess my question to you, Cecil, having played in the league, being around this team, being around football as long as you have, I tried to on a daily basis to talk about how important it is that CJ Stroud does that if this offense is going to hit on all cylinders, but more importantly, like how difficult it is for a guy as talented as CJ to commit wholeheartedly to that brand of football.
Oh, it's hard because as an athlete, you think you can do it all. especially at that level, right? You want to go show how accurate you are with the ball down the field and all these things. But to change that mindset a tad bit and just be like, hey, I'm gonna take what the defense is giving me. And just think about the Tennessee game. They converted, I think, four fourth downs. Why? Because he was taking what the defense was giving him. Now, it was third and kind of long, but he was taking it. And then now you're in fourth and short. Now you're in fourth and one or fourth and a half a yard, third and short, third and a half a yard. Now it's more manageable. Now you're in a schedule. You're kind of on schedule, and it makes it easier for the play caller and the offense to execute. So for me, I think he's just learning, and it's a whole mind shift, right? Coming out of college, he had all these receivers, all first-round guys. He's just throwing it up, throwing it up, throwing it up. But now you want to kind of methodically go down the field and take what they give you, then be strategic with your shots, right? Then be strategic with your certain play calls going down the field. But to do that, you really got to change your mindset, and that's tough to do. And it doesn't mean you can't do what you have been doing. It's just now we're more calculated with it because we're strategic, trying to maneuver the defense and move them how we want to do it and understand that, hey, this is the highest level now. And we can't just go down the field and take chances and do all these things because that's not going to help the offense as a whole. But moving the ball down the field, taking time off the clock, getting first down at the first down at the first down keeps your great defense off the field and fresh, and it demoralizes that team and that defense that you're playing against.
All right, Cecil, man, we appreciate you jumping on with us as you do each and every Wednesday. We'll talk to you next week as they're resting up, getting a little break with this bye, but next week it'll be on to one of their bigger games of the season in Seattle. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good, y'all. Take care.
All right, that is Cecil Shorts III. You catch him at these home games. They're about to have three in a row after this Seattle game. If you're out there, Cecil is an absolute treat. When it comes to breaks in the games, half times, he's out there, he's doing his thing.
Hamburger Challenge.
That Hamburger Challenge is something else.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
He was doing the Crown Royal thing last year, too. I wonder if they'll bring that back.
Oh,
they
jumping in the bag last week? Last time they were home, yeah, they were jumping in the bag.
There we go. Yeah, do that. Yeah, he's it's a few things that he's able to shake loose. All right, coming up, Nick Caserio spoke specifically about a guy and his conversation today earlier with Payne and Pendergast. And I think it's time we really give him some praise as well, because he has stepped up in a major way in doing anything he's been called to do. We'll do that coming up next.